Second Kings chapter number 21 and verse 1 and 2, and then I'll share some other verses from this chapter. I'm going to be preaching this morning on this thought, the power of a mother's influence. The power of a mother's influence. I'm taking you back into the Old Testament. I'm probably going to introduce you to a person, maybe or maybe not, you've never even heard of, or you have a hard time pronouncing her name like I do. But I believe when we get done, you'll see this woman's influence, how it turned around her son, and her son finally got right with God. And I want you to look at this. This woman is Hezekiah's wife. You remember, how many remember God said, Hezekiah, you're going to die? Y'all remember that story? Hezekiah rent his clothes and prayed, God, spare me. And God gave him 15 more years. During this 15-year period, he had a son named Manasseh. And then Hezekiah, because he had 15 years, and this boy reigned over 50 years, 55 years, Hezekiah died and left the responsibility to this dear woman, and I'll read her name in a moment and read this to you. And look at this scripture. Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign. Now, can you believe that? I know that young guy from North Korea, he's young. But Lordy, well, I don't think he's 12, is he? He's well beyond that. He's about 12 in his brain. And he's not even a fruitcake. I'm telling you, he is. Every time I look at him, he looks like something out of a chiller show or some scary show. But anyhow. And he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Hephzibah. And she did that which was evil, or he did that which is evil in the sight of the Lord after the abominations of the heathen whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. For he built up again the high places. And we'll go into all that in just a moment. I want to give you, I read this, it was kind of cute and I liked it. A school teacher was teaching class, and she was teaching classes on magnetic things and magnetic forces, or the force of a magnet to draw something to you. And she asked the class, she quizzed her pupils after the lesson. She said, my name starts with the letter M. I have six letters, and I pick up things. Who am I? Or what am I? And the whole class jumped up. Not one exception. They said, that's easy. Mother. How many say amen to that? My wife told me, you don't know how this works. She went down to the beach for a few days. She come back and brought a purse and wallet, coach, or fossil? Fossil. You have it today? And she came back, she said, this is what you got me for Mother's Day. And my first response was, you ain't my mother. And she looks and said, I don't care. Shame on you. Someone wrote this. I kind of liked it. She cooked breakfast, first of all, washed the cups and plates, dressed all the children, and made sure stockings were all mates. Oh, my wife does that for me. And combed their heads and made their beds, sent them out to play, gathered up the motley toys, put some books away, dusted chairs and mopped the stairs, ironed an hour or two, baked a jar of cookies and a pie, then made a stew. The telephone rang constantly. The doorbell did the same. A youngster fell and stubbed his toe, and the laundry came. And when her husband came at 6, he said, "I envy you. It must be nice to sit at home without a thing to do." Now, how many of your wives got a husband about like that, about that low down? Raise your hand. Real high, Betty. You want to, don't you? Why you raise your hand, woman? How about you? Your wife will throw you under the bus. Mine does it regularly. I mean, just thanks, honey. See if you ever get another fossil. Now, here's the thing, irony about that. She'll get another fossil because he got all the money. This mother had Ziba bore this child, and I want to give you 3 things. First of all, a mother so glad. I want to tell you what. When we got little Brooke, I want you to know I was glad. Brian and Judah were glad. James and Brandy were glad. We all were glad. We were thrilled to death. She even looks like a Smith. And she won't say Papa to me or Eddie, but that's okay. She just beats on us. She can say anything she wants to. She knows, what is that thing? Minnie. She knows Minnie. And Elbow. She pronounced all of them, but she can't say Papa. She could kiss me and break my heart, but she can't say none of them things. I want to tell you what. How many of you ladies go back to the time you had your children? You fathers, when you had your first one. Was you thrilled? Was you thrilled? I mean, you thrilled, wasn't you? I mean, I want to tell you what. They can go astray and they can make mistakes, but I want to tell you what. There's nothing about that surpasses the thrill of motherhood and having a baby. It is wonderful. But I'm going to tell you some things in a moment. Stay with me. That the task of rearing a son, here's what happened. Her husband died. Hezekiah. And could you imagine the load of that kingdom during the time of idolatry and heathenism, the load of that kingdom laying on the shoulders of a 12-year-old boy. And she had to rear him. And by the way, Isaiah 62 says, "Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shall thy land any more be termed desolate, but thou shalt be called Hephzibah, and thy land Beulah, for the Lord delighteth in thee, and thy land shall be married." I want to touch, hallelujah. God delighteth in that woman. Yet that woman was precious. She was bearing the load of being a father and a mother at the same time. I thank God for all the parents here that you're together raising your children. But I'll tell you, the parent here that I have a broken heart for and I have a concern for is that single mother. Well, that one that you had a broken home and there's conflict there and your children been pulled every different direction. That's a sad thing. That's a difficult thing to face. But she faced it with joy. She faced it knowing that it was God's will that she rear this child in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. That's our job. She taught her boy about their God. It was a common part of the day. God commanded, it's given in Deuteronomy 4:9, "Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of life, but teach them thy sons and thy son's son." I want you to look on in Deuteronomy 6:7. The Bible says, "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. I want to tell you what, when you get a child in you, and that's under your responsibility, it's your job to raise them up in the fear and the admonition of the Lord, and you try to point them to Jesus, teach them His statutes. I believe she did that. I believe she did all of that. I believe she did every bit of it. However, you know, a lot of people make statements that I think you better not make. Like this: my child will never do that. Hello? Oh, no. I reared them at the foot of the cross. They'd come right up. They've been in church my whole life, and they'd never do anything bad. I want you to know, I'm glad you wish. That's wishful thinking. But that always doesn't work out quite that way. You said, are you going to get scripture where it says, train up a child in the way it should go, and when he is old, he shall not depart from it? No, not at all. In this case, it actually proves that. She raised him up. He went astray, and then he got back right with God. Say amen right there. But I want to tell you what. Look at me. That one right now that's playing with your heart. Down the road, you're going to do a lot of praying and a lot of guidance, and you hope they stay out of the away from the wrong people, because one of these days they may break your heart and grieve your heart. Am I preaching? Then we come to the second point. A mother so grieved. Oh, yes, she was grieved. Her husband died first. And then this boy took over the kingdom when he was 12. And she was, Manasseh would be the most grievous days, because he absolutely did evil as soon as he started reigning. I can tell y'all what happened. Y'all want to hear what happened? He's 12 years old, so he's being influenced by some of the secularists. Somebody help me. Some of the secularists of that day. By the way, it's sad today, but our kids get bombarded every day by the TV or something else to the secular that's pointing them away from your values, that's pointing them away from what you believe. Am I preaching right there? And by the way, it'll grieve your heart, but look what happened. As a teen, we see his departure from the Lord. He did that which is evil in the sight of God. I want to tell you what. I want all the teenagers, everybody under 20 and above 12, stand. Everybody under 20 and above 12, stand. All over the house. Look over here. Yonder. Somebody out. Thank God they're in church. Thank you. Maybe see there. There's 50 or 60 of them right here in the church or more. We ought to give God the glory. Instead of being influenced by some ugly force. Listen, Mom and Dad, you better listen to this. You better listen real good. Keep them in church all the time, as much as you can. I understand there's obligations. I understand that. But keep them under the influence as much as you can. If you're providentially hindered and they're saying, go on, I understand that. But I want to tell you what, we all could do better. I look back on my life, I could have done better. I could have prayed more with my kids. I could have spent a little bit more time spiritually with them. And I asked them all the time, when I neglected them the first 8 years, and I kind of did. And it breaks my heart that I did. And my wife was Mom and Dad. And I was out doing what I thought was right, building this church, doing everything I could, pouring my whole life into this ministry. And sometimes we think we're doing the best. Now, what's better than building a ministry? I'll tell you what's better. It's building a family. I'm going to tell you what. I'm going to say something that's going to shock all of you. I don't want you to put this church first or me. Here's what you put first. Husbands, you put your wife. Wife, put your husband first. And then your children. And then put the church third. You say, why are you saying that? Is that scriptural? Oh, yes, it's scriptural. It is scriptural. And that doesn't mean the church is going to lose ground. No. If anything, that means the church is going to pick up some ground because you're going to be sold out to God doing what's right. But I want to tell you what, it'll break your heart one of these days because they're going to become a teenager. And that's when they start really getting a lot of influence, especially middle school and high school. They get that influence of music. They get that influence, sexual influence. They get all kinds of influence. Man, they know that Facebook back and forth. They can Twitter back and forth. They can do it that quick. They even send, Dave does this too. They even can send an Instagram. Can you do that? You good at it? Won't you once in a while send one that says, you're the best preacher I know. I know I'm not, so lie a little bit. But let me tell you, they got the influence of hell after them. And we see his departure from the Lord. And then in verses 3 for 5, as an adult, we see his defiance. He not only got away from God, he got defiant. You ever see young people? You ever see? Maybe you've got some kids that are astray today or not saved today. And you taught them right, and they're just downright defiant. Does that break your heart? Defiant! Seems like everything you taught them, it seems like it was wasted. They're defiant. They ain't just departing. They're defiant. This is what happened to him. Because in his adult ages, he started when he was a kid. Then it kept on when he was an adult. And I want to give you some alarming statistics. Maybe it won't alarm you. This is from 1995. Can you imagine what it is in 2013? 30% of high schoolers use marijuana during the school year. 18% of eighth graders said they had used marijuana in previous years compared to 6% in 1991. The AFA Journal said that in our country, 1 million teenage girls become pregnant every year. By the 12th grade, 90% of the boys and 87% of the girls will have taken at least one drink of booze. Since the popular push for contraceptives for teens began, teenage sexuality activity and pregnancy having increased 400%. About 30% of the teens have had sex before the age of 15. Students annually consume 35% of the wine coolers sold in the United States, or 31 million gallons. They also consume 1.1 billion cans of beer, 103 million gallons of booze. I don't know about you, but when you become adult and they started building the high places back and the idolatry back, you look at it right through 3 through 5, and he built the altars and the Baal altars and all the gods of the heathen. He built them all back. We contrary of his daddy tore them all down and he built them all up. You ever feel sometimes your children get away from God and they tear everything down that you put in them? It'll break your heart. She was grieved. Lord. He abandoned everything. But let me ask you a question. As I get to the last point, how many of y'all people believe God is faithful? Raise your hand. Just raise your hand if you believe he's faithful. Could you shout a little bit of praise him? He is faithful. He's not just faithful in supplying every need and giving you a job and giving you a house. He is also faithful to watch over your children, even though they may have strayed. And then lastly, I see a mother so grateful. We see how Manasseh was humble before God. Notice 2 Chronicles 33. And 11 through 13, I believe I have that in my notes, and you should have it back here. Wherefore the Lord brought up them the captains of the host of the king of Syria, which took Manasseh among the thorns and bound him with fetters and carried him to Babylon. And when he was in affliction, he besought the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers and prayed unto him. And he was entreated of him and heard his supplication and brought him again to Jerusalem into the kingdom. Then Manasseh knew the Lord. He was God. He got saved. And we see he was hooked by God. Wherefore the Lord brought him up upon them, the captains of the hosts of the kings of Syria, which took Manasseh among the thorns and bound him. Let me tell you what, you prayed for that one. You were glad when they were born. And now they are straying. You said, what do I do? You see, keep trusting God. Keeping your principles. And I'm going to just say this. I probably will get like, if I stopped here, I would get out of trouble. Here's what you don't do. You don't start being their friend. You can't be their friend. And you ought to be their best friend. But I know some parents that make me sick of my stomach. If a kid goes out and gets in rebellion, they got to go out and join them. Hello? Said, well, I just got to be a friend to them. No, you're just lying in sin. Amen. Somebody help me preach. What they need every once in a while is what my mama done, a big hickory stick lady. You said, but all we'll get thrown in jail, they just going to have to throw me in jail. I never forget, I was raised up, mama. She raised me the hard way. I'm going to tell you, any of y'all had a mama? Mama was there all the time that beat you about half to death. Anybody here other than me had a mama beat you half to death? Yeah. I'll tell you what mama do. People up in town driving know me to this day. When they watch me preach, they said they can't believe John David's preaching. Because all I used to do is throw rocks at their car. Bust windows out. One time I had my brother Buddy who could fight like nobody else could fight. And I hit a 17-year-old right in the forehead with a snowball. And he came and just beat the fire out of me as much as he could. Then my brother hit him with a left and a right. I said, get him, buddy, get him. I was meaner than a junkyard dog. Just ornery. But mama, every time I done, she'd get up there, said, you might as well come out, because every time I'm going to give you a minute to come out, because if you don't come out, you're going to get an extra licking. So, minute went by. You coming? I said, nope. One time I waited 10 minutes, she beat me 10 extra times. Then one time I did something real dumb. Anybody done something dumb when you was a kid? I mean, I don't know, it's just something about me and rocks. I had two buddies, they was using foul language to me. They shouldn't have done that. But I shouldn't have picked up a brick either. And I didn't mean to hit anybody. Honest to God, I was thrown away from them. That's the bad thing about somebody that's not very good. I was thrown away from them. But boy, I hit one of them boys in right over the head, busted his head wide open. Boy, it wasn't long. My mama heard about it. Son, I got under the bed, and she didn't say you got a minute. She tore the bed up. She beat me. She got me by my fuzzy, curly hair and took me up there to them people and said, you apologize to them, and we're going to have to pay their health care bill, you idiot. Then she took me back down and beat me again. He said, you fear your dad or your mama the most? My mama. I talked to her the other day. She got Alzheimer's. But I take her back in the past. They remember the past. I said, Mama, when you remember, when you used to beat me half to death. And she said, oh, yeah, I remember, John David. You're the meanest kid in the world. But I'm a preacher. That don't mean nothing. You was meaner than the devil. But I prayed for you. And I did for you, and I did my best. And she did all the time. She had tears come down her face. And I said, Mama, I love you. I put my arms around her, and I kissed her. Oh, well, I was glad for a mama that stood to it for you. But Sometimes had to take the rod to you because the husband was out, or had to get down and just tell you the facts. Hallelujah for it. Praise God. Let me tell you what happened. They may stray. They may stray, but guess what happened? God put a hook on him. God put a hook on him. And God will put a hook on your children and your loved ones if they stray, or they're not saved, and God will save them. And by the way, maybe you're in here and you're a rebel and you're running from God, and your mama taught you better. Your grandma taught you better. They love God, and you're out away from God, or you're lost and undone, and you're living some kind of wicked life. I say this morning, you need to get saved or get right. Bow your head with me. How many right now say, preacher, if I die today, I know I'm going to heaven. Raise your hand. Raise them up. If you don't know, don't raise them. God bless you. How many right now will say, Preacher Smith, if I die today, I don't know if for sure I'm going to heaven. But I want to go to heaven before I die. Will you pray for me? Would you raise your hand?